Hello, let us learn a sikha together. Both sikhas this week of Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, Chelek Yudalet, are from the same farbring, and interesting, they share similar themes as well. They're both addressing how to deal with enemies. The first one is more the Melchemes Reshus, the voluntary wars or the obligatory wars of the seven nations. And the second sikha is about Amalek, but same farbring, same theme. So let's explore one sikha after the other. Obviously, now we're focusing on sikha number one, Tzeitzei Aleph, which is really an exploration on how Rashi decides his definitions. What do I mean? This week's parsha, Ki Tzeitzei LaMelchama, you're going out to war. Ki. How do I know how to translate the word ki? Is really the fundamental question the Rebbe is going to ask, not only for this pasuk, but for three psukim in last week's parsha, Parsha Shoftim. Ki. And how Rashi figures out or chooses not to figure out what kind of war it is. So the Rebbe starts off by this week. He says to La Muhammad, when you go out to war, comes Rashi and says, we're talking about a voluntary war. How do I know? Because later on in the pasuk it says the Shavisa Shivya. You caught a captive and you want to marry her. If it was an obligatory war, Muhammad's Chayva, you wouldn't be catching them, you'd be killing them. There's no space for leaving them alive. Comes to Rebbe and asks a simple question. Rashi, if he wants to prove that it's talking about a voluntary war, all he has to do is look at the word ki, the first word. Ki, seitze, if you go out, right? If you go out. If is means it's up to me, it's my choice. So that tells you that it's not a war that I have to go, it's a war I choose to. And comes to Rebbe and says no. After exploring various other last week, etc., as we'll explore soon, the Rebbe says no. Ki Tzeitzei LaMelchama doesn't tell you for sure it's a voluntary. It could be ki means that, but ki has a lot of translations. As the Rebbe quotes from Parshas Vayera, where Rashi says, ki can mean if, it can mean maybe, it could mean rather, etc. So we don't know which one it goes on. But after it says v'shavisa shivyoi, now we know what ki means. We know that ki means if. So therefore, what's the dibra maskal of Rashi? What's Rashi going on? Which words? Ki seitzei lamelchama. Because what he's going to do is, based on later on in the pasuk, he's going to translate two words. Ki, if. Because now we know it's if. And also seitzei. Because if it was an obligatory war, then Tzeitzei doesn't really make any sense. Where are the Jews going out of? They haven't conquered the land yet. So where are they going from to? It's rather, you know, you're going to war, but you're not going out of anywhere. But only later on. So how would you translate Tzeitzei? Sorry, in that case, you would translate it more metaphorically, going out of your comfort zone. But now that we know that Shavisa Shivya is talking about a voluntary, then Tzeitzei means literally going up because you already conquered the land, you're settled, and you're going out of your land. So the later on, the pasuk translates and gives context to the previous word, ki and seitze. In the previous parsha, in the parsha Shoftim, the Rebbe has three examples. At the end of the parsha, in Perek Chaf, pasuk Aleph, then pasuk Yud, and then pasuk Yutes, all in the same Perek. We read three different keys and there are three different contexts of war. And Rashi addresses each one of them differently. The first one, ki seitzei lamelchama alivecha, when you go out to war on your enemy. Rashi doesn't say anything. Doesn't say what kind of war it's talking about. What does the pasuk talk about? Ve'isasus v'rechev, you saw horses and wagons, much a nation bigger than you, don't be afraid. Why doesn't Rashi say anything? Because there's nothing within later on in the pasuk. Remember, the word ki doesn't tell me anything. It's an option, what it could mean. But unless I have context later on in the pasuk, there's nothing to tell me that what ki is. So this fact that people could get afraid at war can happen in a voluntary war, an obligatory war, there's nothing. So says the Rebbe, there's nothing that Rashi forces Rashi from the context of the pasuk to decide what ki means. So he doesn't explain it. Then, 10 psukim later, he talks about negotiating peace. Kisikra ve'irli lachem aleha. You go to a city to fight it. V'karase leha l'shalom. And you call out for it for peace. comes the Rebbe and says the fact that later on, Rashi says, Milchemes Rishus Kas Medamer, but that's talking about the voluntary, K'moshe Mefurish, like it says later, Kein Tassel Chol Ha'ar Marchekes, so you'll do to the other cities which are not even in your land. So for the fact that you could do it to other cities outside your land, means that we're talking about something that's voluntary because you weren't obligated to conquer. Why does Rashi not know it's from the first Pasuk? Because you could always negotiate peace. You could always negotiate peace in ahead of time, even with the seven nations, if they're willing to accept it. So we didn't know from this Pasuk if it's Muhammad Sashur Zakhaiva. A few Pasukim later, it gives us context. And the final option, which is right after this one, is Pasuk Yates, Ki Satzer El Ir Yamim Rabim, when you're laying siege to a city to fight it for many, many days, comes, so don't destroy any trees, except for Baltashkas. Comes Rashi and says, Rabim, what's many days? Shleisha, 3 days. Mikan, number from here, you know, Ain't Sarn Al Yarshal Gadikam, Pakas Shashayam, from here, you know that you never lay siege for less than 3 days. Play them L'Shabbos, before Shabbos. In other words, you have to give yourself enough time to be able to wage the war before Shabbos. And also, Lamad, you learn, Shapiseach V'Shalom Bezikim U'Yamim, that you negotiate peace 2 or 3 days before. And he brings an example from David HaMelech. And here he says, at the end of Rashi, Muchemes Rishus HaKlas HaMadaber. It's talking about a voluntary war. How does Rashi know this? Because he just said that you negotiate peace over 2-3 days, which is not the way you do it with a chayva. Because if it was an obligatory war, you would only do it way ahead of time, but not at the last moment. If they didn't negotiate peace, it's over. Okay. Says the Rebbe, if we just said in the second case in Parsha Shoftim, if we just said that Karasei Leil Shalom, that calling out for peace can only happen in a voluntary war, how did Moshe Rabbeinu negotiate with Sichon, which was one of the nations we had to conquer? The Rebbe says, because over there, we weren't going there to war. We just wanted to pass the land. It wasn't intention to war. So in those kind of cases, you're allowed to greet them with Shalom. And in general, you could call out for peace ahead of time with Milchemes Chayva, but Beza Gimel Yamim, that can only happen when, in other words, to call out for peace when you're already there, that only happens with Milchemes Rishos, not Milchemes Chayva. Comes the Rebbe in Oisvav and says, in Yanin Mufloim, amazing things about that we learn from this Rashi. From our Parsha, Rashi said, Milchemes Rishos HaKasa Medaber, and it's talking about a voluntary, but he doesn't say when he continues, he doesn't say, had it been an obligatory war, you wouldn't be able to camp captive. He doesn't say obligatory. He says, Milchemetz Eretz Yisrael. He should have said the war of obligation. Why does, if you just use the word reshus, which is voluntary, then go to the opposite, obligation. Why do you go to Eretz Yisrael? Says the Rebbe that in Milchemes Eretz Yisrael, even when there's no chayva, you're still not allowed to allow anybody to live. What does he explain? The Rebbe says like this, in Parshas Mishpatim, Hashem says, I will not chase out all the nations, the Torah says, I will not chase out the nations quickly, but rather, I'll do it slowly. In other words, from here you see that you never go and kill everybody till the last one, because you don't want the city to pentia or shmama, maybe the land will lay desolate. So from here is understood that if you conquer the land in a way that can't be settled, in other words, it's desolate, that's not Milchemes Chayva. It's rather Milchemes Eretz Yisrael, because Milchemes Chayva, Hashem promised that you're going to do it slowly. And over here, by the way, the Rebbe explains why Yeshua waited to conquer the land 7 years, because he didn't want the land to be shmama, desolate. Comes Rashi and tells you, Milchemes Eretz Yisrael, Ein Lehem Shavis Shivya. says the Rebbe, that Rashi's coming to tell you that regardless of what kind of war it is, whether it's a Melchemes Chayva or it's not a Melchemes Chayva, in other words, the way Hashem said that Ma'at Madar Hashenu, you have to Leisachaya Kol Neshama. Why? Because this has nothing to do with conquering Eretz Yisrael. This is not about the conquering. This is about making sure you don't learn from them, from their terrible activities. So therefore, even though technically you don't want the land to stay desolate, but nevertheless, you cannot allow anybody to live. So basically, each war that was done in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's not a Melchemes Chayva, because a Melchemes Chayva would obligate you to make sure some people survive. So even if the war is only a Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, not Melchemes Chayva, because you have a paradox. On the one hand, the Hashem says, don't lay the land desolate. On the other hand, you don't want to learn from them. So even though it doesn't go in the category of Melchemes Chayva, nevertheless, in the category of Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, to make sure that's a pure place, you would have to kill everybody. Says the Rebbe and finishes off that the Alter Rebbe says that Pirush Rashi ala Torah is the wine of Torah. In other words, there's the Pnimius HaTorah inside as well. Now, we know, the Chassidus explains, Ki Seitzi Lamacham is talking about the war of the Nefesh HaLikis with the Nefesh HaBahamis during davening, which is a war. Shas Tzloisa, Shas Krava, it's a time of war. How can we say it's Melchemes Rishus? It's an obligation to go to war. You have to fight this, the war of Yetzirah. Says the Rebbe, there's two kinds of ways of dealing with your Yetzirah. One way is through war, and one way is B'derech Menucha. In other words, not necessarily through war. In other words, you don't have to choose the way of war. And that's the difference between davening. Davening is the way you fight your Nefesh HaBahamis. And Avodas HaTfilah, Avodas Limud HaTorah, which is Drachei Drachei Noyim, it's more peaceful. So if you choose to go war, then it's a chayv. In other words, you're definitely going to war. If you choose davening, you're going to war. If you choose Torah, it's not necessarily going to be a war. It's a voluntary if you choose to go to war, because you could technically do it without the war. You could do it through Drachei Drachei Noyim. And that's why it means Melchemes Rishus. L'chaim.